recording now.
We're ready?
We're ready.
Do you want us to jump into it?
Might as well, it's a work session.
So, purpose for today, we just wanted to create a little bit of time today before new council got seated, to first get you thinking about the various boards and committees, and I think you might remember from the council one-on-one, we kind of quantified the time for that. So I want to get you thinking about that, and also feel free, and Jim shared with me, here's the committees I'd like to be on, which are the ones he's been on. So if you wanted, you're not making any decisions today. But if you wanted to kind of share things what you're passionate about, or if you have questions about what a committee does, we just encourage you to kind of share that, and that'll kind of speed things up next week. Kind of before that, too, just wanted to first make sure you're getting the electronic packets, kind of let Mike share with you a little bit about the technology and what we can do for you, and then we'll get into the committees. We have a video from CERSA, which is our insurance company, and they provide us just phenomenal support in a variety of different ways, both in terms of how to keep our facilities safe, but when we have tough, icky, sticky problems that can create liability or lawsuits, they do a phenomenal job in terms of counseling us in terms of how to deal with them. So they deal with the whole gamut of liability and legal issues with municipalities. They represent most of the municipalities within the state of Colorado. So we have a brief video from them. It'll feel, you'll see real similarities to that in terms of what we did in the Council 101 session. Please ask questions though. Even if it's 15 minutes, it's short and sweet, and then we have a great follow-up, and the date for that again is in a week or so.
The 16th, Monday, December 16th.
So same line.
We're riding with you.
Yes, you are.
Just me?
And Diego
okay.
as well.
Oh, good.
So this is the 101, right?
This is the 101 up in Crested Butte with Sam Light.
So this will be with Sam Light, the general counsel for CERSA, and he's relatively new, but he's a very seasoned city attorney. He's a phenomenal attorney. So that's a great training. This will be a brief overview, so feel free to ask questions about it. We've also wanted to hand out the charter, so you have that, and that kind of constitutes what are the responsibilities of council. How does it relate to responsibilities of the manager and staff? So we wanted to just make sure you had that and highlight a few things. Got some just administrative things. We want to get you to think about your schedule, because we'd like to schedule a day for a planning session late in the last 2 weeks of January or early February to do a retreat to update the strategic plan. And that's just tough finding a full day
for everybody.
Deal with grants.
We do. So then we'll do that as part of your regular meetings. We also got copies of the comp plan. Feeling this is still a draft, we're just going to give it to you as a point of reference and look at it more in terms of the ideas. This still has a lot of editorial work to be done in it, so don't read it from that perspective, but look at it from the context of the ideas. You can't because you've been in the middle of it in the trenches, but particularly for our two meetings.
Yeah. Now, is that the same one that we have that was given to us?
Did you get one?
Yeah, I mean, not a big copy like that, but it's on regular 8.5 by 11 paper. I've got it in my binder.
That's the summary.
That's the summary of it? It's got a lot of.
This has got to be different.
I don't think.
This will put you to sleep. No, actually, you were.
Post face for
there are some.
Oh, good.
Are you my other
But it's not I've got something I've been skimming over, right, and looking through.
I would dive into this one.
So that's what we got planned for the next hour. Does that sound okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just quickly wanted to introduce Mike Lee. You know, one of, just from experience, I've had council members that have kind of sheepishly said, I can't really get my packet. And if we can't get that information to you, we can't give you good information. So I just wanted to introduce Mike, kind of have him share, here's the different ways we can give you the technology so you can get the packets. So maybe introduce real quick, Mike, you know, what you would like to do in the future with kind of the tools.
Right. So the city of Gunnison is a Windows shop, Microsoft Office, and the packets are PDF files. And so we typically use Acrobat just because we find that, I mean, that's what we're creating, the forms and indexes and everything else, so they work. There's some devices on the Apples that work good, apps, some that don't. I'm not an Apple guy, so I can't really give you much support on Apple products. For Diego and Bo, if you guys want a laptop, we can get those ordered. I've got quotes ready to place an order tomorrow morning. It's like a 14-inch screen, so it's 13x9x1.
Perfect.
Just a little over 3.5 pounds.
Perfect, yeah.
You know, I have Office, Outlook, Adobe Reader, all right, so.
That's an improvement over the tablets.
You know, I don't want to ask a lot of questions, but my tablet doesn't, every time I come in here, I can't pull up even things I thought I had. Same, you know, it does, my Apple doesn't seem to, is it kind of a closed system in here or something, or?
It's just Wi-Fi.
It's the Wi-Fi, I'm not sure why I try to pull things, it's just not available, not available. Yeah, so, anyway.
Okay, well, we look at that until, it's probably gonna take me a week or so to get those devices in here.
Okay.
So the message is, the simple message is, for Apple products, we can't give you a license.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Mayor and Mallory, you use an Apple product, you use them daily.
I just use my work laptop, yeah.
So you're used to it. To give you support, better support, you know.
Yeah, okay.
A Windows product works better in terms of us supporting you.
Okay.
If you're independent, great, go for it.
Yeah, I can look at it.
The general workflow is the Friday before a packet, you'll get an email, you know, from Erica's team with the actual packet, and you should be able to download that. And then we can help you. There's a variety of tools that allow you to make notations and make references in a packet to help you kind of summarize and look at that. And if you need help with that, we can give you suggestions. Or if you've got tools with PDF files to help you do that, then feel free to use them.
Every once in a while, the packet is too large to go through your email, so it may just be a link that we're sending to you, and then the packet's on the website as well, too.
Sometimes the links can be touching.
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
I've been having luck with it so far.
Okay.
A lot of things just have to come through.
So we just wanted to give you that preface, just in case you didn't get this packet that I just sent you. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I guess kind of touch on email. I think you're getting your email now. And are you getting your?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I guess just one thing with email, or a couple things with email, is our file size limit attachments is 10 meg. Okay. So if you're trying to send giant pictures, they're not going to go through. Okay. If people are trying to send you giant pictures, they're not going to go through. And that's a restriction on our end. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has their own restrictions, so the lowest denominator wins. So.
That's culpable. In other words, if you got it. Yeah, 12 megs that hits you as well.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So you divide it up.
Yeah. Okay. So the other thing is we use a product called Siren for our email filtering. I've been tweaking it the last quarter, and I think we've got it pretty well dialed in to block a lot of the crap.
It seems to be working.
Yeah. We have,
on behalf of the mayor, though, watching, you will be a target.
Okay.
The mayor's been a target a couple times where you'll get emails that may look legitimate, or
it's
an county.
Well, the best ones is when they started going all over the town, mm-hmm. wanting everybody to do checks on them.
Yeah. So watch out for that.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, you will and can be a target.
And occasionally, there is training done internally to sharpen your skills. You haven't done one of the full trainings in a while. We've sent out a couple of messages.
No, but all new users get the initial training. So you guys should have seen that email. It's from a company called knowbefore.com.
Okay.
And
I thought that was really good.
So
it is.
So those trainings are there. Also, randomly, you will be getting a test email to see if you'll click on it. And if you do, you get to do...
Sometimes they're sneaky.
Yeah, no, that's the point.
That's the point.
Make it as difficult as possible. So it will take, if you click on something that you shouldn't, and it's from, I mean, it will be hidden from this company, but it will say you clicked on something that you shouldn't have. There's really good diagrams showing you what to look for next time and how to tell if people are trying to spoof you or fish you. So phishing is a method of trying to get you to do something that you otherwise wouldn't have. Log in, give your credentials, your password, any other types of information. So,
Mallory, is that a problem on your personal computer? Or the computer you use, your business computer? And
no,
get
I mean,
fished
I,
all the
I
time?
Log into the Outlook.
Yeah.
Server
okay.
on my Google Chrome, but I have received phishing emails for sure.
Okay, on your personal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially this time of year. So.
Just don't give anybody any money on the internet.
Yeah.
Or tell them anything.
Money or passwords. So, and then the sheet I passed out is just a quick start guide that we've been working on for our new staff onboarding. So. As you go through that, if anything that doesn't make sense, please let me know or ask so I can help refine it. So this is version one. You guys are the guinea pigs, so.
The Wi-Fi, should we use the City or the City M?
You can use either one. The City M has more bandwidth, but they're both guest networks. The City doesn't have a password, just the City Wi-Fi. It's available in all buildings. So it will get busy and slow,
yeah.
Like during hockey tournaments or gymnastic tournaments, because everybody shows up with three or four devices and is connecting and trying to upload video.
And should the City employee password?
Yeah, it is CityEMP4, and it's a capital C, capital EMP, and the number 4.
Can you say that again?
It's CITY, capital C, ITY.
IPY? I'm sorry, we're starting
City. City.
City. Oh, City, I'm sorry, my...
That's okay, you're on the wrong side.
Okay, City, what again?
EMP with a capital E.
EMP?
And then the number 4.
Employee.
Oh, gotcha, thank you, okay.
And those networks are available in almost all of the city buildings.
Okay.
Mike's a great resource if you have any questions or problems. Mike becomes an important in Erica if we get a open records request related to one of you or all of you in terms of I want to see your emails about X, Y, and Z. You know, Mike would be the filter in terms of, again, if you've got a city device or predominantly exclusively use your city email, that becomes very, very easy. As I was chatting with Diego, if you're sharing devices with your employer, personally, that becomes more complicated, but Mike becomes kind of that filter trying to capture all the city-related email. But you can certainly make it a lot easier for him and Erica if you're using your city email address for city email business.
Yeah.
And
so I've been in records searches where we had, it was a contentious issue, like mining leases, oil leases, and drilling. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on the far ends of that, so you can't make a good decision. So everybody was mad and wanting public records. We had an attorney and a business person in town, both using their business email accounts. They got to spend a lot of money on attorneys filtering through their public, their personal self. So really, it's important that you keep your city business to a city account, then it's not...
Even if it's their personal device.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the device is important when you talk about email. If you start talking about text messaging or pictures or other apps, then the device could start falling into scope. again, the city doesn't run into the contentious issues like the county and bigger, but, you know, with big subdivisions and big money, it becomes big issues. So just be aware, you know, the other thing is that you'll have friends and people you've been campaigning with. They know your personal email address, so you're going to get emails from them wanting information.
And
my best advice to that is do a reply all to them, copy your city email account, put it in the message of the email and say, for city business, please use this email account. Send that, and then reply to their email message out of your city email account. Be sure not to be going, if you're going the other way, that's when your personal email is going to start getting involved. If they see emails trickling out of the system, then they're going to say, wait, we want that. We want the email that's going on over here. So, again, just be thoughtful.
And you don't have easy access to it.
I do not. You know, that's going to be, you know, especially if it's a personal or a business email. Personal, not so much, but if it gets into a business email, your business attorney is going to be involved. So.
Anything else, Mike?
I think that's the big things I have.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Any questions, please let me know. I'll get those devices going, and as soon as I have them for you, I'll let you know.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
One thing that started a few years ago is this is a city hall.
Okay, let me.
As mayor. So that's, we started that, and that's basically because these devices are the most likely ones that, rather than having somebody do search for emails, they want to see your device. And that's it. So. Plus, it's more likely to get administrators and the mayor than it is also.
So next, we just kind of wanted to go through each of the committees, maybe just as a suggestion. Let's first just ask questions about what are the committees, if you have any questions. Again, Erica's done a pretty extensive survey of council members on time, and I think we all,
that's good.
People have a
that was
good
helpful
perspective on what's involved and what different groups do. And maybe explain what you, how you organize this.
Yeah, and so this is, you also have a handout of this at your table, at your seat there too. And what we did is just went through the different committees and a few of the kind of special groups like Sister Cities. It's not necessarily a committee, but kind of some of the extra activities that go on, is to list this in order of what seems to be some of the most high impact, high time consuming committees, all the way down to some of the more least attended or needed committees throughout the year. So it's kind of in order by most to least amount of time and energy and work invested. And it's sort of my estimation based on some of the survey results that you guys have given me. So there may be things that you guys are doing more of that I wasn't fully aware of. But I know also some of these meetings, and I tried to add it in a little bit. Like CML Policy Committee, for example, only meets twice a year, but you are most likely traveling, or three times a year. So you are traveling, so that's going to require some additional time as well. CAS, the Colorado Ski Association, or Colorado Association of Ski Towns, also requires some travel and things like that, too.
And Region 10.
And Region 10
is over on
Montrose.
So I did want to kind of keep this sheet as contained as possible, but that's how it's organized here.
It's a one-pager, right?
It is a one-pager. In your packet, there's more, more detailed information in there that does contain some of the kind of travel requirements and things like that.
And it also lists the who was on the committee.
I did, just in case people had questions for them.
Oh, okay.
As well.
No, are those going to switch up? I mean,
yeah,
is this whole thing going to start
from
scratch?
You get excited next Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
We wanted to get the discussion done today.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yep.
Erica?
Yeah.
What's the status of the OVPP? Because I know there's the OVPP.
And then did that kind of morph into the One Valley?
It's one. Okay. So it's just the One Valley.
So we can just take
it. That's just One Valley.
And it's not even really monthly anymore, is
no.
it?
It depends on what's going on, but ideally it's approximately quarterly.
Okay.
But it could be more.
And we still want two council members on that?
I think one is adequate.
Probably maybe an Becky, what, and on that, you could have anybody be involved in it, just like what I've done with mayors and managers when I haven't been able to attend. The mayor pro tem is first choice, but I've asked others to ask council members to go represent the city as well, so.
And the tradition for that is the mayor and the manager go if the mayor's unavailable. But then you have a selection of other groups now, including the housing authority that participate, so it's kind of a mishmash of different entities. Just a suggestion for this, this is where you can consume a lot of time. And so the 2 cents would be, look at what you're passionate about and what you actually have time for.
But they all need to be covered.
Correct.
They all need to, well, let's talk about that though. There are certain ones where if you said, you know, we don't have anybody raising their hand, staff, can you cover this? That's a legitimate thing. Now, there might be different things, you know.
There's some that have squirrely requirements.
Like the Regional Transit Authority.
Yeah, there's been a lot of questions around that of if we need 2 council members on that. And I know it's written in their charter, but.
So that's something, I think their bylaws could be modified. But right now, their bylaws say that needs to be an elected official.
And some of the responses said, you know, when it asked if it was necessary to have a council member on, some of them said, not really, or no.
That's,
so that's
so
okay.
That's the council member saying,
okay, not really necessary.
Maybe somebody else.
Okay.
So I just wanted to share, you know, Jim did, when, before he got off the phone, he said, I do enjoy the 3 groups I'm currently on, which is the Fireman's Pension, the One Valley Leadership, and the RTA, which requires 2. So I just wanted to pass that on. And then he said, well, you'll probably stick me on whatever, you know, if you want to, since I'm not there. So
he's on the Fireman's Pension, the RTA, and which other?
The
One Valley
Leadership. Leadership.
One Valley. Hold on.
That's Jim Miles.
He's currently serving on those.
Well, Mayor Gelwick, do you want to go through and kind of talk about yours, and then I can talk about what I've been on? Since we both kind of current on some of these?
Sure. Or do we want to just take them in the order on the list? It doesn't matter.
Oh, sure. That would work too.
And obviously, either way, I start first. Regional Housing Authority meets monthly. It rotates between Crested Butte and the Housing Authority office, which is on Georgia and Iowa.
But sometimes it's up that
way. It's every other month. It's every other month. It is, there are 2 appointees from each of the political entities, which are the city, Crested Butte, Mount Crested Butte, and the county, plus 1 at large. Currently, Sean Westing is the other rep from the city.
Sean.
Oh,
Man
Savage.
Yes. Thank
you.
It's a hard one. Yeah.
Yeah, I keep watching that. I keep mishmash out of it, but anyway. And given the rules of the Housing Authority, he's not, his term technically is not up at this moment. He just was appointed last.
This summer.
So.
Like August, I believe.
Yeah, and normally they say for 3 years, but I don't think anybody's lasted 3 years on it except Kelly. It does require 1 council member. Personally, if someone has an interest in housing, it's an area where you can get a lot of information. I think that my participation now is a diminishing return.
You're kind of looking for somebody else to set up.
So you've been on this, doing this committee? Okay.
For 2.5 years.
Broader question, thank you, Mayor Gelwick. On any of these committees, is it standard practice for any participant from council to then report back to the group on what was discussed, what are priorities, da da.
Yeah, and a lot of the housing authority ends up on very low information for council as a whole. That is, you oversee what's happening at Hanson Site Place, how many vacancies are in it, is there a remodel job that you need to put funds into, and things like that. Now, other places, and of course, they are the partner in the LIHTC project of just north of, or just south of the Meadows Park. And that's how that all functions there. The city's participation in that right now is over, except for building inspection. Because we've covered basically the city's obligation was not to charge a building fee, so which we did. So they also will help with Lazy K, doing lottery. If we do a lottery on Lazy K, they do a review on deeds and so forth. So there's a lot going on that's covered there, as well as they're trying to develop a long-term strategy.
And you, at the end of every council meeting, that each council member reports out from the committees that they've been to during those 2 weeks, verbally, or they do a written report. It gets included in the packet as well.
Can't hit the substantive issues, such as we're thinking about going for a ballot initiative. And to really answer that, you may need to come back to your colleagues and say, what do you guys think? You know, that's a big issue.
The earliest that that'll happen is maybe 2020.
So it's fair to say that's potentially open, so if there's interest in that one.
Yeah. Is it a pretty productive group? I mean, do they get things done at their meetings? They decisions made, or is it just kind of?
There are decisions made, yes. And it is evolving more into an oversight committee of currently in properties. That responsibility is increased. And they are doing a lot about trying to establish best practices for dealing with housing, affordable housing, and so forth. Yeah. I have my biases, and like I said, I've done it, I've enjoyed it, but that is, it really is time for me to move on. But other questions about the housing authority? We do have a memorandum of understanding. We commit we're up to 58,000 in this coming budget. And it is in 21. So there will be, whoever serves on this will also be dealing with what happens in the future around it as well. So it's an important activity. There occasionally I've had to miss a meeting. There's just sometimes that happens to you. There really is not a way for anybody other than the people named on the committee to do any voting or anything. It is an open meeting, so anybody can go attend and watch. But it is, there is no proxies.
And did you say how many people are on that, in that group?
You have
11.
11?
No, we have 8, 9.
Yeah,
9, yeah. And then the director is also. But it's 8 plus 1, so it's 9.
Interesting.
There's a long list here.
Just to know, I do have to be out of here. I have to pick Harlem up at 5.
Okay. So we should, maybe we need to go through a year long roster.
We'll shortlist it. So I've served on the store committee since its inception, and that's something that I would like to continue to serve on, but I'm I'm not hard and fast about any of these. If somebody's really interested in something, it's really fun. It's basically every land user group in the valley has a rep, and we talk about sustainable tourism and outdoor recreation practices and carrying capacities. And we've got some funds going to hire a stewardship coordinator, and it's gaining a lot of publicity around the state and nation for the work that we're doing, the collaboration that we have between land user groups and government, and that's something I would continue to do if nobody else wants it.
And RTA, again, Jen and Leah have been our representatives. Beth meets monthly.
It's monthly, except I think that they skipped December. They moved the November meeting into December.
It's pretty good. It's a good chunk of a Friday, as you can see, Friday morning hours. We'll typically start at 8:30, and I mean, it's a substantive group where you're dealing with bus service, you're dealing with air service, a little dose of tourism in it. So it's a substantive group. It's been a discussion, I think, with us in terms of could it be a staff person and an elected, but right now my laws are two electeds.
Don't make a whole lot of sense.
Again, fairly productive group?
Yes, I think it is. It's substantive. They have funding. They do things. They make good decisions.
Do we know how big that board is?
I'm sorry.
How big is the board?
Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just a
at-large member? I think there is an at-large.
Yeah, so it's
not. I want to say nine.
It's nine, and it's two electeds. The problem that I have with it is if both county commissioners are there, you have a majority vote cast if it's a county project. You have some, I think you've got some conflict of interest problems. And tying up two elected officials, that's probably one where you need people that deal with transportation and staff, and individuals in the community like Leah would be exceptional people on it, rather than your random elected official.
And there is a little bit of continuity. I mean, you were managing a program in the system, so continuity is the One Valley Leadership Council. Actually, I'm the chair. It's a very collaborative group, and it came from the One Valley Prosperity Project. And the new initiative is they're supporting a valley-wide climate action plan in a conference coming on January 17th. So their goal is to meet quarterly. If something big's happening, it includes representation from up and down the valley, including the ski company. It's a lot of the same people in the area. Do you want to describe the Valley Housing Fund? Because I think that's an important role.
Yeah, the Valley Housing Fund operates under the umbrella of the Medicine Valley Foundation, and they collect money in a variety of ways and grants, and provide funding to help housing projects. I'll use the Light Tech example. The housing fund, most of the money was funneled to the housing authority from the state and the federal government. And then the housing fund put in the piece that was the final local piece. Originally, it was going to be $100,000. I think they got it down to $50,000 on the amount of money that they actually had to put in to make it work. They have purchased land. They are land banking. 2 years ago, when there was a countywide, countywide discussion over in Glenwood Springs, one is gone, the property that the city can really do is, well, we could change a whole lot of policies and do some things, but I don't think you want to jeopardize your water system in order to do it. So they really are the player for matching money and other things that can help all the communities in the area. And they are also independent in terms of making decisions, like they have purchased 12 acres or 15 acres, somewhere like that.
Looking at property actively in and around the city.
Right. And they tried to buy an apartment complex and that fell through. So they're actively going out there. Drexel has been on it literally since it was formed, I think. He's one of them. There, we have one person on that.
This is the group that has money with housing. And so I think it would increasingly be very strategic, just like the others.
The one question I have about it, and I'll put a caution on it, is they are going to be a participant, a significant participant in an annexation proposal. And as council members, we have to vote on that. So that you have to decide where you're not going to participate.
So that would be one where you
will you to talk really to the city attorney
about when you need to disengage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the general sense, yeah. The fact that, yeah, they're talking about that, but when you get down to you voted to put in X proposal, mm-hmm. and then you got to vote on it again, that could get sticky.
So region, just keep
region 10 is another Bob Drexel.
That's a trip to Montrose. Mm-hmm. Our closest, they do a lot, so we have an active, productive relationship with them on providing broadband to the valley. But they deal with senior issues, they deal with economic development, your challenge. Yep. They deal with transportation issues and are a forum for bringing together transportation. So they do a lot. The biggest challenge, and this is my own personal editorial, the biggest challenge is we've got to have a voice there. Because if there isn't a strong voice from the Gunnison Valley, it turns into a Montrose and Delta County regional government. And we lose out.
Well, we're not alone in being cut out.
Yeah.
Because it also includes Tellier IDA.
Yeah.
And it cuts out Lead City pretty good, too.
And was Bob on the executive committee?
He was
the chair.
So it rotates. If you stay there long enough, you'll be chairman. Our chair won't.
I mean, it's fun. It's very diverse. They have funding. But again, we need a strong voice for this valley. Chamber?
Chamber is one that I would really love to get rid of. It's,
okay. Now, the other part of that boundary is we keep that financially.
Yeah,
going.
No, I'm just saying,
for
my own scheduling,
60 something.
It falls on the same day as store committee, which means I start with a 7:30 a.m. meeting.
You basically lose the whole day.
Yeah.
So you're saying personally,
yes, I would rather not sit on the chamber.
I think it's an important function.
It's good because, the city supports the chamber budget, and we need to be putting checks and balances on them still, and I think we're not quite there yet with what they're doing, so I think they have potential to be strong partners, but we just need somebody there to keep nudging them in the right direction.
Do you think that you'd need to be a council person, or could it be a staff person?
I think it could be staff, absolutely, but I think it'd have to be somebody that's economic-minded. Economic-minded and, analytical and help. Because it's always these big visions, but they don't really, manage profit, how much they're, making off the things they're doing. And
It's like our checking account has X in it, so that's kind of
Yeah, so somebody that has economic background or
finance.
Okay, like maybe a CML policy committee?
CML policy committee, you have a member and an alternate that you appoint. Right now, I'm the member, Leah is the alternate.
And their function is to essentially.
The function is that you review legislation, make recommendations to their board. It is a place where you can learn a lot. It is a place where you'll see the very differences in municipalities. Other than that, you have usually it went less. Well, I used to get up in the early mornings, but I don't do that. They start at approximately the meeting time runs from 10 to 1:30. You need to get there about 9:30. It's in Denver, it'll always be in Denver. They have one in September, one in December, one in February. February is a two-day event because they do the legislative day the day before, which is where they try to bring you update on all of the current legislation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information. I've never not been on it. But if somebody,
You enjoy it.
I enjoy it. The travel is getting more and more to me. There's one this Friday, and I'm debating about whether to fight the weather to it or not. In the past, I wouldn't worry about it. But then I could drive over Monarch when the snowplows would go across it and break my own trail. And now they would sight me all over the place. But I'm not that good a driver anymore. So I would encourage somebody to be the alternate. I'm more than happy to have you take a full role in it. They don't have enough room to have both the delegate and the alternate there in their main meeting in their meetings. But Leo went to understand everything 1 year. If you want to know about what's going on in legislation, you want to get a lot of questions asked in various ways, that is the place to be in terms of what's going on with the state.
So with all that, how much information do you bring back to council from something like that? Is it a report that you give, or?
Yeah, most of the time, you try to be very selective about it. In the old days, I would go on for 20 minutes about what was going on. I don't do that anymore. But then we don't exactly have the same work sessions that we did in the past. There are things which are there, and then there's some things that catch you by surprise. It's an evolving organization. It's a solid organization.
Mayors and managers kind of defined by the name.
Yeah.
Denison Valley Observatory.
That's a new one that I joined, and turns out they don't meet in the summer. It is a working board, so it relies all on volunteers, and I didn't have the capacity to be there volunteering this summer. I would still love to be on the board, but I don't know. I might have a conversation with them and see if they want somebody that can actually be there to open the doors. I did volunteer and start doing a lot of design and print work for them pro bono, so I felt like that was kind of a trade-off.
Yeah.
And I've been chair and only member of the PR committee. So
you get a lot done.
So, yeah.
It's very productive.
So I have, I know I've done a lot of helping them market themselves and kind of bridging the gap between their science minds and some more design thinking and how to get grants and things like that that they just don't even really think of because they're used to struggling, and I don't think they have to because it's a really great resource. So it's something I would really like to continue serving on, but again, I can't be there opening the doors in the summer. So.
And prior to Gail Davis had been
she was our former city
manager, ran their books, did all sorts of stuff for them. And I think that it's not a requirement that we have somebody on there. I think that maybe their bylaws say that they would like somebody from the city and so forth. But it is, I think it's a great benefit to try and maybe move them into where they become a true community asset down the line, as opposed to sort of, the learning extension of the people involved.
Yeah, and it's cool because it's on county land, and I think there's a lot of opportunity. We just have to move slow so we don't overwhelm them.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, something I want to push is the Dark Sky Initiative still and work towards that. And they're a great partner for that. So.
Next one is called the Colorado Association of Ski Towns. OVP is the same. So that's a fun one. I budgeted some professional development and I participated in that for a long time. We were out for a while and now we're back in it. It's a collection of mountain towns that aren't all ski towns now. It includes Moab, it includes Salida. So it's a quarterly meeting. One of the meetings is a legislative meeting in Denver.
In March.
Yep. So it's a fun one. Leah's been on it and she would.
She went to Jackson, Wyoming.
Yeah. Budget that way. Yeah. So anyway, it's a fun group and you learn a lot.
And its greatest benefit is our relationship with Crested Butte, not Crested Butte, who are key members of it. Mm-hmm. They really participate. And I think as with Vail now being more of a player in the whole thing, it actually will become more important to us in the long run.
So that's
a fun one. That sounds good to me.
They were the best party at the CML conference.
It used to be that they had a ski meeting at there. Now it's just an open party.
Yeah, now it's just 5 minutes of business.
Next meeting's in Avon and Ski Nut.
Really?
So,
yeah, that sounds good. Is there two members on that committee?
Yeah, right.
You can always. That's also one where it's almost open participation.
Oh, is it right?
Yeah, it doesn't limit. I mean, if we want to, so there's a travel cost.
Yes, yeah.
So it's a budgetary question.
You could be a side person or you can rotate.
Yeah, that's true.
It really doesn't matter.
You
really
could
that's
rotate
cool.
the
yeah.
individuals that go in.
Yes.
So there's a question you mentioned just now on budgets as far as travel required or lodging expenses and such. Is that out of pocket from our stipend?
So we, and I think this is really a good thing, this last city council, you know, was investing in their own professional development, investing in these, so we've budgeted for participation. If you said we wanted 3 members of the council to be on CAST, we need to find some more money. So we're budgeting right now for 1 individual council, but you could also.
Yeah, but when they had a 2-day meeting in Crested Butte. I think we have 5 council members at that meeting.
Yeah.
Mm. So
depends where you're going.
Yeah.
And what your interest is.
So there is budget for.
Yeah, like you get a
travel
or hotel.
Yes, there are sometimes
you
where
do
you
do
have.
There's also
a
city
car.
You can use your credit card too.
So you have a card and paperwork that gets go. Save your receipts.
We're
like
so bad
adult,
at that.
So
save your receipts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec is something we're probably going to have to discuss as council. We were initially just going to nix it. We may not.
Here's a
recommendation. we need to mix it, I'm sorry. You can't make recommendations on budget and then vote on budget. It's the same thing as planning and zoning.
So your options with this one, without the changes, you could either say, we'll appoint somebody until there is a change, or you could say, we're not going to fill it. You just have to make a decision. I anticipate this will come back to you in January.
Yeah, it'll come back in January. But in the long run, if you, the community voted overwhelmingly to say, we didn't want a council member on the zoning committee, the planning and zoning commission, and that one, in many ways, you see things that don't come before city council. In the case of parks and rec advisory, anything with budget automatically comes to council and then voted by us.
There's really no decision for the all elected, you just.
Everybody goes over to dinner, social.
It's just a dinner together and everybody goes.
It's great.
Here in town?
Sometimes dinner together.
So impressed if you want to say not impressed if you.
Valley.
There's a little, there's an agenda, but it's kind of light and it's social and it's a great opportunity.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Gunnison Memorial Scholarship Review, that was Bob, right?
That's a Bob, and I think it's like a one-time shot.
One time you read all the.
All the applications.
Yeah.
You have your recommendation.
Kind of fun, and you're awarding.
Yeah, I think he liked it.
Grants.
Yeah.
So.
It used to be the mayor was always stuck on it, but it's not required.
So Mallory, you had an interest in?
Yeah. Who else is on that committee?
It's people from the school system.
Right.
It was always the counselor, Casey.
Mike Casey.
And.
And I know Pam had a great contact.
One of the school board members was on.
The foundation.
Is that just Gunnison schools or?
Yeah, it's just Gunnison.
Just Gunnison.
Fireman's Pension Board is exactly what it is, twice a year, something Jim's being a fire chief, he's passionate about. City Investment, that's, you're on that, and basically you're managing giving, Ben has great recommendations, kind of has the game plan, and he'll bounce ideas and options off of you. But it's how do you conservatively invest our assets in a way that's still very conservative, but between better than interest rates on a savings account. So Jim, that's.
I have no problem staying on.
Sister Cities, it's kind of as needed. You've been passionate about starting that and have involved the council. It's something that's downtown vibrancy again, and kind of as the council. We started this project just bringing, and the whole council participated. And we've continued to meet, you know, say on IOF park design. Sharing different ideas about where we are.
Sort of a community.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I would recommend everyone.
Yeah.
Attend. We don't really have one rep. It's kind of.
It was wonderful to have all of council there. We just noticed. And by the way, whenever you're at something and we have more than two, we just, it's very easy. We need to know about it. But it's very easy. We just slap a little piece of paper up on a bulletin board and says, we're going to have one to two council members at a specific event.
Huh.
And then.
Yeah, you post it.
On a bulletin board?
It's three or more.
Three or more.
So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we post on our website, so we have official posting places for our website, and then our bulletin board is downstairs. And that's just for transparency.
Right, so Friday night when we're all, say, lights or night of lights.
No.
Not so much the night of lights. We wouldn't post that necessarily.
Even though we're all there.
Because we're having conversations.
The conversation.
Oh, yeah, right, well.
Places for that.
And we've posted other times.
For social. If it's purely social, we've kind of taken the tact of, if we know, you know, we got an event and more, you know, three or more of you are going to be there, then we just post it. If you just happen, you're at a party, you're at some event, it's not a big deal, you don't have to run away, just don't talk business.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you're at a social event.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Not a city
okay,
council.
Good,
but
gotcha.
If we know ahead of time, we've got a city event, it looks like one or two of them be there, then we just post it, it's easy.
And we post 24 hours in advance.
Okay.
And then municipal court liaison, this has just been a way to connect performance review standpoint. Mm-hmm. They just have direct communication, meeting with the judge, a couple of council members, two council members meeting with the judge, and you know, kind of seeing how things are going, maybe sitting through one of the courts and observing him. So that's been more of an informal thing, but it's a way, I think it's an important way to connect with your municipal judge. So again, just as a reminder, you've got three employees, myself, who's full-time, you know, then you have the city attorney and this, you know, the city judge. And that's it, right?
Yeah, that's all we have on our list.
So, Valerie, what do you want? You can let off of the chamber.
Yeah, and I'm good with everything else that I already have.
Right.
So I could do the Memorial Scholarship Review.
You're interested in picking that up.
And I guess if we are removing Parks and Rec, I'll not do that. But
I think that that's best now, isn't it? Yeah, didn't even touch your head on it.
Oh, no.
So, but it things need to evolve from the past to the future.
Mm-hmm.
You're not making decisions tonight, but we just wanted to make sure, get a sense, you know, if you're passionate, share with your colleagues what you're passionate about. You know, don't get stuck on something you have no interest in,
right.
Or that you overburden yourself. And,
how many do we have to choose?
Zero.
You know?
No. Okay. Yes and no. We've got some obligations to be represented, like an RTA, the housing.
I think each council had between four and six committees or boards that they were serving on.
Okay. But there's not much good says thou shalt.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's more of an
expectation. So, I mean, I know Mallory, you need to go, don't you?
Yes.
I got to go.
Anything else that you want to talk about before you go?
I don't think so.
So let's just do a little reality check. We're losing two of you right now.
I've got 10 minutes.
And I do it.
So why don't we just do the CERSA loop and then we call it the...
Sure.
Is that okay?
Can we go?
Absolutely.
I already watched it. Right?
We could loan it out to them.
That's another way. Would you want to, that would be more time effective?
Somebody came over there to watch a movie and
they don't have a link.
Well, do you have, well, here's a bigger question. Do you have a DVD?
Well, yeah, that is a problem. I have one on the computer, maybe. I'd rather watch it here.
Want to just watch it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just watch it.
Yeah. It's
Christmas Carol this weekend.
Actually, but you can get tickets at the door.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I did have a couple of
training
type questions.
I know, right? I'm kind of nervous for Friday.
This is random. At the rec center. Is there a city council, we're employees of the town or the city, is there a benefit to use the rec center?
So all city employees, I'm trying to recall that, I think we framed that for part-time and full-time city employees that you essentially can get a rec pass.
Okay.
An individual.
Wait, me too?
Yeah. As an individual rec, no, I don't know.
It's a discounted rate, yeah.
It's a discount.
I don't know if we've had that discussion with council.
I was there yesterday, and I'm like, I wonder, so I thought I'd ask.
That's a good question.
Technically, you're part-time employee.
Yeah.
You get a discount.
Then on letting you know if we're not available for meetings, or just let you know.
From Jim Miles, sorry, can I just pass this along before I go? Yeah. I'm in GJ, he's doing good for now anyway. I guess he just wanted to see my ugly mug. Go have a drink for me.
Okay, well, that's better news than what you got 3 hours ago.
All right.
Thank you.
See Mallory.
So just let you know in advance?
Yeah.
As soon as I can.
Yeah, he knows.
And sometimes things come up that day.
Right.
So. To let us know as soon as you know.
Sure.
Particularly if you're going to miss a council.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sometimes that can create, say we had a worst case and we had several members, you know, that couldn't be there.
We were down to three once.
Yeah, we had to the council forum.
Right.
Okay. So just be aware if we lost three of you, we're kind of out of business.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who do you contact?
Me.
Just go, okay, Comcast, okay.
And if for some reason you can't reach, you can always contact Peter or us.
Okay.
But normally,
Okay, gotcha.
Anything else?
Yeah, I wrote down communications question mark, but I don't know what that means, so we'll just go past that. I'm sure it'll come back.
It'll come back.
Yeah, no, I don't remember exactly what I meant by that.
There is a bigger issue there with communications that, so when you're out in the public, you know, this, Jim, this happens all the time and every day, particularly with him. You need to be very cognizant. People will interpret your speaking for, you know, the city council when you're speaking, so it's different.
Right.
You know, so you need to be very clear. Even if you say, I'm Diego and I'm just speaking for Diego, you're going to be interpreted. So it's important to be clear, you know, are you speaking for city council or an individual, but oftentimes people interpret and assume you're speaking for the city council. So be careful, you know, if you're stating your opinion, you know, chat with your colleagues. You can express your opinion, your individual thoughts, but just the way people perceive it is
right,
a little
right,
different.
Right, right, and that's,
you are,
got to be a little bit of a learning curve for me too, I mean, just,
right. If you say,
I like to chat.
I agree with that, and all of a sudden they think that you're going to change the ordinances and everything else.
Right, right.
That's when, and most of the time, you have the ability to influence it, but you don't necessarily have the ability to do it all by yourself.
Sure, I was just going to say, if you went through the packet, there are some kind of tips at the end of the packet that were in there from CIRSA and CNL, but I was just going to highlight for you, so.
Yeah, and that's important.
And I probably will leave about 10 minutes.
The one thing that you don't want to do is get in serial conversation. Like, I think we ought to do next problem with them. You and I sort of agree, and then let's go talk to Diego and Teresa.
That's a meeting. You're having a meeting at that point.
Yeah.
We would need to
even
post.
Though we aren't on the same floor.
This will reinforce the issue we talked about.
Well, hello, Dan. Congratulations on being elected as a council member.
Thanks, man. I'm real excited about attending my first meeting and being sworn in. Although I'm a little nervous.
Nervous? About why? You were elected by a landslide.
Well, there are several things I'd like to accomplish. I'll be the first to admit, I have a lot to learn. I don't want to end up like former Councilman Smith. I want to have a successful term, but I don't want to end up being sued.
Hey, Dan, David joining us tonight.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, I'm Margaret Taylor. I've been a council member here with the City of Cottonwood for 10 years, and mayor for the last two. During my time with the city, we have made a lot of progress, but also a few mistakes. Certain members of the council have created messy liability situations that have cost the city a great deal of money, hurt our public image, and stalled important projects. And in some situations, elected officials have paid personal liability claims out of their own pockets. The purpose of this video and accompanying handbook is to help you avoid the mistakes that can lead to liability and identify best practices that will allow you to be successful as an elected or appointed official. CIRSA presents In the Scope of Your Authority, Preventing Public Officials' Liability.
That's a lot of good information. Well, thanks, Bill. I'll see you tonight. Oh, Mayor, do you have a few minutes to discuss some of those past mistakes?
Sure, Dan. Come on in. Have a seat.
Thank you.
You referred to Councilmember Patrick Smith. He promised during his campaign he would never allow Megamart to build a store in Cottonwood, and he was pretty vocal about it.
Send away Megamart! Send away Megamart!
I've had similar opinions about giant retailers, although I haven't been as vocal as Mr. Smith. Where do you go wrong?
Well, I don't think he ever accepted the fact that as an individual council member, he really didn't have the authority to act on his own. That's why Smith was never able to get anything done. He was pretty vocal about the few issues he was interested in, but rarely work to build consensus within the council. Dan, pretty much everything we do requires collaboration within the framework of our council. Elected officials can't get anything done as individuals.
I see your point.
So the first lesson is to think and act in terms of we, not I. Apart from a few duties vested in the mayor, the laws that govern our city don't give any powers to individual council members. We've got a diverse council with a lot of different perspectives, and we can only accomplish our goals by working together. Now that you've been elected, your role changes dramatically. You're no longer an outsider promoting your own agenda. You now have to work with your fellow council members to accomplish the city's goals as a collective body.
Let me ask you more about Councilmember Smith. The Megamart deal, it was approved by the council, although by a close vote. What problems did Smith cause?
Remember all of his anti-Megamart statements? Mm-hmm. When it came time for us to actually hear and act on Megamart's land use application, he should have recused himself.
So he shouldn't have voted?
That's right. He shouldn't have participated in the hearing or voted. Smith had made it well known that he was aligned with the Megamart opponents or were acting in a quasi-judicial capacity, such as when deciding on a land use application or liquor license. We must be fair and impartial. We can't do that if we've already made up our minds before the hearing. Councilmember Smith had made it clear that he opposed the Megamart application. He was not acting as a fair and impartial decision maker. Fortunately, the Megamart application was approved by a small margin. Otherwise, the city could have been accused of a due process violation.
Due process?
Yes, the U.S. Constitution guarantees the right to a fair hearing as part of an applicant's due process rights.
During my campaign, I talked with a lot of my neighbors who are also anti-growth. I expressed to them my concerns about protecting our small businesses from giant retailers. Will that prevent me from voting on similar issues?
Well, the question is, if one of those big retailers comes before the council with a land use application, can you be fair? Can you make your decision based only on the evidence you hear and the requirements of our land use code? And can you set aside your previous discussions with your neighbors?
I can't ignore my neighbors. They elected me to represent them, not ignore them.
I'm not saying ignore your neighbors, but when an application is pending, you should not have discussions with anyone outside of the hearing. Our city attorney calls these discussions ex parte contacts. Your decision in a quasi-judicial matter must be based on the evidence presented. So when your neighbors want to speak with you about a pending application, explain to them it's inappropriate for you to talk about the issue outside the hearing. Suggest that they come to the hearing so their concerns can be heard.
Well, last year I called Councilman Miller and asked him to vote no on the pit bull ordinance. Did we engage in an improper ex parte contact?
No, that was a different situation. The council's consideration of a pit bull ordinance was a legislative matter. They were not dealing with the rights of a specific applicant under an existing law. The council was considering a new citywide law, so they were acting as legislators. Lobbying and other ex parte contacts are acceptable in the legislative context. But when you're in a quasi-judicial role, you've got to think and act more like a judge and refrain from engaging in or allowing ex parte contacts.
It makes sense when you put it that way. It's important not to base my vote on my biases or prejudice and only consider the evidence presented at the hearing like a judge.
Exactly. The other thing to keep in mind is to make sure you have no conflicts of interest when you're voting. If you were appearing before a judge and you learned he had financial or other conflicts of interest, you'd expect him to recuse himself, wouldn't you?
Well, sure.
Well, people who appear before us in a quasi-judicial matter expect the same. To be...
I love all these anti-pirates.
I got pushed.
You got the
basic gist, yeah.
So,
I can grab this and find the DVD player and finish it, no problem.
Yeah. You know, so this is important. It's to protect you and the city.
Well, you can go up next week to the rest of you and you'll get them in space.
Yeah,
and I'll be there as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Any questions before you run? Two just kind of reminders, you know, so as you work with staff, you know, if you have questions, you know, please use me as a primary point of contact. I'm your employee. you know, if there is a question of something specific related to the police department, I would encourage you to call that director. However, direction to staff is different.
Right, right.
That needs to occur in this room.
Right.
So it's me getting direction from the council as a whole. And the other cautionary thing is when you call and suggest something to a staff person, that oftentimes can feel like direction from council.
Sure.
So our director is now pretty well trained.
Right.
Hey, Russ, I got a call. It sounds like it's just, you know, an information request, and I'm going to encourage him. Give him a dig or whatever he needs if it's
information requests or
really then, you know, you'll have a financial, and he's very, very good at getting back to you. But just be conscious, the direction to staff really needs to happen up there, and that's coming to me, so I can make sure there's accountability, and if it's direction, you know, to the city organization, it gets done. So, you know,
what's the best way to contact you? Do you like texting, emails?
Yeah,
like...
so for me, the hierarchy is if somebody's knocking at my door, you know, that'll happen. You know, the mayor pops by, you
okay.
pop by. You know, I'm going to, if I can, I'm going to stop what I'm doing
okay.
and address it. Phone calls, if you get me, and feel free to use my cell phone. You know, I'm working for you 7 days a week. Sometimes I climb, sometimes I'm in the middle of nowhere, but if I can answer my phone, I will. Texting, you know, works well.
Mm-hmm.
Email, I'm scanning particularly for your emails, but I'll get 125, 150 emails a day.
Right.
And I often need the weekend to catch up on my emails. So email will be the least effective to get me fast.
Okay.
Even though I'm looking specifically for your emails. But that's the big thing. Just don't hesitate to ask. You'll have questions.
You need to set up a meeting.
Yeah, I actually have got that, you know, in the emails that will pop up, but, you know.
So, concerns from community, if something comes in, just throw that at you, or kind of filter it first a little bit?
I call it, well, it's up to you, but I call it don't stump the chump. I had a council member that loved to throw staff off in the council, so he would wait, you'd have, you know, there's a stop sign that's missing on the corner of and he would wait until a council meeting and go, why isn't there a stop sign on the corner of blankety blank?
A council member said would do that?
It's a different jurisdiction.
Yeah, okay.
And he's
okay.
an attorney.
Okay.
He found it kind of a fun thing to do.
Stop the jump.
And so I would just encourage you, if you see a problem, give me a call.
Okay, good.
You know, that'll happen with this council, the
okay.
mayor will call me, hey Russ, you know, that happened with a water thing. I see water gushing out. Is that okay? No, thank you.
Right.
You know, we'll get a team on it right away.
Okay.
So you're, again, great eyes and ears in the community.
Yep.
You'll see things. People will come to you. So if you see a real problem, don't hesitate to call.
Okay.
And you don't need to wait. Or if there's a, man, I got a real problem with this. Or if there's a real policy question, and I'm going to bring it up at council, you know, it's really helpful if you can share that with me. And
before the council meeting?
Yeah.
Okay,
you know,
and then we talk about that at the end of the council meeting.
Don't wait until the council meeting. That way I might,
good.
Answer to that, I needed to talk to the chief of police, and the answer to that, thank you for letting me know ahead of time, the answer to that is blank.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.